Listener, I thank God that we are continuing this message this way. I want to plead with you that God is interested in doing something wonderful in your Christian life. That God wants you to stand as a believer who would defend his glory. Remember the topic we are discussing, dangerous assumption. I come back to you and ask you, are you sure you have not assumed some things? I want to let you know there are some men in the scripture who have made these assumptions. At the end of their life, it was disastrous. Let me pick a man called Samson. If you read Judges chapter 13, you will see how the angel of the Lord announced that a young boy called Samson will be born. And the angel, through the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, now gave the conditions and the mission of Samson. He said, this child shall be a Nazarite. No razor shall touch his head. No razor. And he will never drink any strong drink this all the days of his life. Why? Because the Lord said, I will use Samson to deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Philistines. But what happened? This was the message given to the mother. When the mother went back to the husband, Manoah, and said, a man came to me, look at the message, look at the message. The father said, let us pray that this man will come back again. Let me hear the message directly from him. We are talking about dangerous assumption. When that message came, when the angel came back, Manoah, the father of Samson, asked him, are you the man that spoke to my wife? The angel said, I am. He said, now, look at what I want you to listen here. Look at the question that Manoah asked the angel. He said, what shall be the rule of life of this boy to be born? Which means the Christian race has rule of life. You don't run it anyhow. It has principles. It has do's and don'ts. You don't just run the race anyhow. The question is, what shall be the rule of life, the guidelines, the principles, the constitution, the Holy Spirit in constitution about the life of this man that will be born so that he will realize his mission and his ministry? And the thing repeated itself. He said, no strong drink, no alcoholic drink, no razor shall touch his head. He shall not eat anything that is defiled. He shall be separated unto God. That is a Nazarite. Samson was not the only boy that was born at that point, but he had to obey this instruction in order to carry the power of God. Every Christian is supposed to be a carrier of God's presence, God's glory, and God's power. But today, because we have lost contact with the presence of God, we have lost contact with the power of God, we have lost contact with the glory of God, we have turned into miracle seekers. I have said it. Again, instead of breeding prayer warriors today, we are breeding prayer collectors. Gyrating Christians, galloping Christians from one program to the other, from one crusade to the other. What are they looking for? They are not looking for how to prepare for heaven. They are looking for miracle. They are looking for signs and wonders, forgetting that miracle is embedded in obedience to God. Look at what happened to Samson. The Bible said immediately Samson was born, he grew. As he was growing, the mother, I believe, told him, look at the instruction about your life. Don't assume anything, Samson. This is a definite instruction from the Almighty God. And he told him, you are a Nazarite. You shall not drink any alcoholic drink. You shall not eat anything that is unclean. You shall be separated unto God all the days of your life, because you are not just an ordinary boy. You are a deliverer. You should deliver Israel from the torment and torture and captivity of the Philistines. Samson began to grow. The power of God was upon him. I'm talking about dangerous assumptions. Samson was a typical example. he now assumed, because the power of God was upon him, the anointing of God was upon him from the womb of his mother, he could do anything. When he grew up, the first thing he did, the Bible says, when Samson went out, he saw a woman and came back and told the mother, come and marry this lady for me. They told him, look, you shouldn't marry from outside. He began to assume, so far I carry the power of God, I can marry anywhere and still fulfill my ministry. Dangerous assumption. Samson, the mother persuaded him, the father persuaded him. He refused to budge. What did they do? They went and married the lady for him. Not knowing that the problem of Samson wasn't marriage. I usually tell people, if you have the spirit of immorality, you better go for deliverance. Even if you marry, you will still be wayward. Why do we see many men who are married today, but they are wayward? They leave their wives. In the altar, they make vows. Until death do we part. Only you shall I know all the days of my life. How many men out there are still keeping to that vow? How many women are still keeping to their marital vow? Because so many of us have immoral demons tormenting us. We try to cover it up. Samson, his problem wasn't marriage. If you hear some people that say, this boy is so wayward, changing girls like rapper, let us go and get a wife for him so that his legs can come into the house. His legs are not coming anything, because the problem is not with his legs. The problem is inside. If you don't deal with the problem inside, it will linger. After the marriage of Samson, what else? He now went to the valley. He saw another woman there. The Bible says he went in unto that woman and slept with her. And the Bible called her a harlot, a man with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, filled with the power of God, on a special mission and ministry, sleeping with a harlot. You may think it is very rare here now. In our generation, it happens. I see men of God, in quote, who go to crusades, carrying other girls, carrying other women, leaving their wives at home. And they come there to perform miracles. You don't know the source of the miracle. But let me tell you that you perform miracle doesn't make you a real Christian. God, the Bible said, the gift of God is without repentance. The gift of God, once he gives it to you, continue to use it. But on the day of reckoning, something will happen. Samson thought that the anointing of God was for jamboree. You see, after sleeping with a harlot, do you know what happened? I'm using him as a typical example of so many people who have taken dangerous assumption. You see, in the night, after having sexual immorality with a harlot, in the night, there was a cry in the city. Samson, get up, the Philistines are upon you. The Bible says he woke up and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He put his hands on the gate of the city, not door. On the gate of the city, very mighty gate with heavy pillars. But he has extraordinary anointing and power. So he shook the gate, lifted the gate, carried the gate on his shoulder, and left and went to the mountain and said, who are these Philistines? Come here, I will crush you. Not knowing that God was giving him grace. He was dangerously treading upon the mercy and the grace of God. God was giving him long time, as he is giving some of you that are listening to me. Those things you are doing, gambling Christianity, that's what I call it. You are gambling with your Christianity. You see the emptiness in you. You are immoral. You know you have spirit of lust. You don't want to deal with it. You know you are a drunkard. You drink secretly. You smoke. Yet you come to the church to render special number, give testimony. You have unforgiving spirit. You don't have a good marriage yet. You claim to be born again. Many Christian marriages and homes are collapsing because the Bible says our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Heaven is nearer. I want to tell you that you better deal with that problem. Don't take the grace of God for granted. Don't assume that God will not punish sinners. God will not even remember what you did in the days of old. Because some people will tell you, oh, when I remember when we repented newly, we were trekking distance, kilometers to win souls. What is happening now? God is not God of past tense. He deals with you on the present tense. What is the state of your spiritual life now? Look at Samson. He took a lot of things for granted, like some of us. But Bible said he had a name. That name still remains. Samson, Deliverer, Nazarite. He had a name that he was still alive. But spiritually, Samson was dead. Some of us are having a name, brother, sister, pastor, elder, deacon, deaconess, sir, lady, every title in the church. Because this is the age, I say it again, of title. I remember a man of God who wanted to show the world the kind of calling God has given to him. He had a pin-up on his suit. He went to preach. He had a pin-up on his suit, and three words we are seeing, three alphabets. But he wrote inscription on the pin-up, apostle, prophet, and evangelist. That's what he wanted to know. He wanted the people to know that he was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was an evangelist. But as he was putting on the pin-up and coming nearer people, you only see the three capital letters that began the three words. A-P-E. And what does that mean? Ape. In other words, his pride to show that he has wonderful ministry has made an ape of him, a chimpanzee of him. Because we are proud, we want to show off. We want to tell people we have arrived. Dangerous assumption. We go back to Samson. When he carried the gate and he thought that everything was okay, the next thing was he landed again to a third woman called Delilah. And one thing that makes me to wonder about Samson and his dangerous assumption was the question. God wanted to help Samson out, to come out of his dangerous assumption, thereby motivating Delilah to ask Samson a very critical, crucial question, which must have put Samson on alert that something disastrous and catastrophic was about to happen. What was the question? Delilah said, "Oh, you love me. Where is the source of your power? What can it be done to you now and you will lose your power?" Let me tell you, if Samson was not dead spiritually, immorality, immediately somebody asks you, "What can I do to disarm you and destroy you? Can't you run away?" But Samson remained. He started to gamble, like some of us are gambling. You are gambling with your Christian faith. He said, "If you use new rope to tie me, I will be disarmed." The lady tried it. It didn't work. He said, "If you get chains to tie me, I'll be disarmed." He was gambling, dangerous assumption, not knowing that time was working against him. He was at the 11th hour of his life. The grace of God was about to expire. Somebody listening to this message, unless you do something after listening to it, the grace of God will expire in your life. And once the grace of God expires in your life, the most disastrous thing, something that has no remedy, will come upon you, just like Samson. He refused to take the challenge. The woman said, "What can I do to disarm you?" He began to gamble. At the end of the day, when he was overcome with sin, in his dangerous assumption, thinking that he will carry God and do whatever he wanted to do, he told the woman, "No razor. No razor has touched my hair. Just cut off these seven locks on my hair. I will be disarmed. I will become powerless." I want you to follow this story to a conclusion. Look at what happened. The Bible said one thing, that when he told Delilah the basic truth and the final truth, Delilah now invited the lords and the nobles of the Philistines. Say, "Come now, he has told me the total truth. He has told me the secret of his power." And the next thing you hear is that Samson, a man of God, deliverer, sanctified, consecrated, a Nazarite, carrying the Holy Ghost, was sleeping on the lap of a strange woman, like some of us. Samson was sleeping there, and they got razor, cut off the seven locks. This is where I get trouble. Dangerous assumption. What happened? After cutting off the seven locks, and the woman saw that Samson was disarmed, she shouted and said, "Samson, rise up, the Philistines are upon you." Look at what the Bible said. Dangerous assumption. He said, the Bible now said, Samson rose up and said, "I will act as I have been doing before." And the Bible recorded, not knowing that God has left him. Samson said, "I will do as I have been doing before." After committing immorality, after taking a lot of things for granted, after mixing up unnecessarily with the world, drinking what I should not drink, alcoholic drinks, messing up with women, and doing all sorts of things. He said, let me exhibit my power, my anointing again. And the Bible carefully recorded. Samson did not know at that point that God has left him. Listen, are you sure God has not left you? Are you sure? Think very well, because you are taking a lot of things for granted. Are you sure that you are still at the center of God's will? I was traveling one day, I saw a vehicle. That vehicle is 5-foot-4 wagon. I saw something drawn on the body of the vehicle, very mighty snake. I was troubled. I said, why should a man buy a car and draw snake on it? I stopped. I went near the vehicle to see what prompted the drawing of a snake. And there I saw a man also drawn on the vehicle, running. It was a drawing, but it gave me a wonderful message. Once I got there, I looked at there. Something was written under the snake. And what was the inscription? It said, we should fear sin as we fear snake. I was so happy. We should fear sin as we fear snake. Christian brother, Christian sister, how do you fear sin? Are we not meddling with sin? Are we not modernizing sin? Are we not giving sin wonderful cosmetic names so that it can look palatable? When you see a thief, a cheat, a fraudster, instead of calling him a thief and an armed robber, we baptize them and say, oh, look at this boy, he's a 419er. And we clap for them. 419ers are now coming into the church. They are giving their tithe, heavy tithe. We think that everything is okay with the church. The church is in trouble. I submit it here. I am a preacher, I am a priest, I am a man of God by the grace of God. And I know that the church is in trouble. We are noise makers. We have lost contact with the Holy Ghost. Many of us are just running up and down, but you know the heart is empty. The Lord is crying. Who is on the Lord's side? How many will say no more worldliness in the church? How many will decide like Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8? What did the scripture say? Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel determined his heart. Daniel decided in his heart that he will not defy himself with the food of the king. He will not defy himself with the king's delicacies. That is a very serious matter. I want you to be very cautious about it. I want you to watch about it. I want you to know that heaven is real. Hellfire is real. Jesus is coming. I remember in one of our declarations in the church, there are things we say during the communion service. We summarize the message of the church. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is coming again. This is the important message. And that is what I want to drive into you. How did Samson end up? Because of dangerous assumption. Immediately he was dealt with. The first thing that happened, the Bible said that immediately they saw that the power of God has left Samson, the Philistines came and removed his two eyes. No anesthesia. It was so terrible. When devil gets you at the point after you assume so many things, he will so deal with you that he won't show you any mercy. Of course, in the dictionary of Satan, there is nothing like mercy. He wants to torment. The Bible summarizes his agenda and manifesto. And what did the Bible say? In John chapter 10 verse 10a, he said, the thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. What are you assuming, my brother? What is that thing you are assuming? You think God can overlook something you are doing? Let me tell you, this age of prosperity preaching, this age of breakthrough preaching, this age of what I call Christian divination. We don't tell people the truth. The sinner will come in, you start prophesying for him. Who is killing him and who is not killing him, assuming that all is well. It's not true. Dangerous assumption. Look at the place we read. You know, we read Revelation chapter 3. And I want to let you know what the message there is. He said, you have a name that you are alive, But the truth remains that you are dead, but there is still hope. Look at what the scripture said there. It said, be watchful therefore, and strengthen the things that remain. Repent, because I have not found your work very worthy and pleasing to me. That is where we are driving at. It is not enough listening to this message. I have seen preachers and pastors that after crusade and revival and great marriage seminars, they beat their wives. Very terrible. They beat their wives. They didn't take care of their families. Yet they minister. The Bible said you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. What do we talk about this mixing of Christian faith and tradition, dangerous traditional religion? We call it cultural revival, but let me tell you, it is not cultural revival. It is bringing in idolatry into the church. I have said it before. I am saying it anywhere, and I have no fear of contradiction. Whosoever wants to oppose it, no problem, but it is a dangerous assumption. When people will be a knight in the church, an elder in the church, they will go to the village and take usher title, become an usher man, and an elder, and a deacon, and a knight. You are just taking dangerous assumption. You cannot eat from the table of the devil and eat from the table of the Almighty God. They are different tables. So you better take a decision. This kind of mixture we are having in the church today was what was happening among the Israelites. So Joshua looked at them in Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. And he gave a very wonderful, glorious clarion call. And what was the call? He said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. People were mixing so many things. They get traditional religion and Christian religion, and what do we call it? Syncretism. Combining of different religious beliefs. Do you think you are Christian? That is syncretism. A little there, a little there. You cannot. God is holy. God is pure. If you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, as he who called you is holy, be you therefore holy in all your conversations. Do we still hear the message of holiness today? If you preach it, you'll be an archaic pastor. You'll be an outdated pastor. You will be a pastor that doesn't know what is happening. Just climb the stage, dance, and jump up. Three young people, tell them that heaven is in their door. They are happy. Tomorrow they troop again. But I want to tell you, the Bible said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And only very few are walking in that way. But broad is that road that leads to destruction, and so many are walking therein. Look at you. Are you not walking on the Broadway? If some of us, you have villages. When you go to villages, there's what we call Appian Way. If you are going in the Appian Way, you don't wear any kind of clothes. You don't do anything. You don't walk anyhow. If you're wearing something like Baba Riga, you have to put it together in order to walk safely on the Appian Way. That is what heaven is all about. What do we see today? People dress anyhow and they climb the pulpit. People do anything. They come to the church. Once they give time, you know, build church. They give heavy donation, millions. I went somewhere one day in a function, in a church. And as the time for donation came out, the MC, who I know was a brother, I was ashamed that day. He took the microphone and said, well, we have introduced the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. The next man I will call in this time to give us donation is somebody I regard as pillar in this church. He now started calling chief, sir, this and that. And the man stood up with his skirt in the church and he came up. Do you know the man he was calling a pillar in the church? I know the man very well. I'm not judging him. I'm not condemning him. But I know the man was and still is highly occultic man. But because the church needs his money, they made him a pillar in the church. Dangerous assumption. And that is why rich men come into the church. They go back emptier than they came. Because once we see them in the church, we change our message. Instead of telling a rich man that Jesus looked at people when he was preaching, he made one wonderful statement after preaching one day. A man in the crowd raised his hand and said, "Sir, I am here for something else. Come and settle this land matter with my brother." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." A man's life. Your money has no business on the day of judgment. Why can't you say, "Jesus, I have assumed so many things dangerously. I want to come back, even if it means the world tormenting me, friends ridiculing me, rejecting me, castigating me, jeering at me. I don't want to take dangerous assumption, because that day when the trumpet of God shall sound, the heavens will stand at still. Everybody will wait." The Bible said everybody, old and young, educated and illiterate, military, civilian, everybody will stand to answer before the King of Kings. "The I am that I am, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Today you are carrying Jesus around like the Lamb of God. Very soon he will appear like the Lion. And when the Lion roars, who will stand him? We want to pray this moment. I ask you, are you assuming anything dangerously? Come back to Jesus. Go back to holiness and righteousness. It will be well with your soul. Let's bow our heads, brother and sister, as we pray. Gracious King, we know that your heart has been bleeding for what is happening in the church. But thank you for giving us this message. I pray, oh God, as many as have been living in this dangerous assumption, deliver, rescue, and save us. Lord, refocus the church, the preachers, the priests, so that we can take people to the kingdom. Make us disciples and not miracle seekers. Break the yoke of sin and worldliness in our lives, so that we will stand to be welcomed into your kingdom, not condemned because of dangerous assumptions. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Thank you for being there.
Jesus, Jesus, hear my humble cry. While as others thou hast calling, do not pass me by. Jesus, Jesus, hear my humble cry. And why as others thou art calling, do not pass me by.